AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
What's up, everyone? I'm Tori.
And I'm Anissa.
And this is the very first episode of MTV's official challenge podcast, where we are going to go behind the scenes of the brand new season of the challenge, Double Agents.
From what it's like to sign up for the season you know nothing about, to how the casting process works. You'll hear secrets on the episode that you won't hear anywhere else.
Plus, we have a very exciting guest for our very first episode, and it's Emer Harkin, the executive producer of The Challenge. I absolutely love Emer. This is so exciting.
Yeah, she's amazing. She is badass. Ooh. And don't forget, at the end, we're even going to be answering listener questions, so stick around for that.
Okay, so should we begin, Anissa?
Yeah, girl, let's go.
Ooh, yeah. All right, Anissa, since you are the OG, you are my favorite challenge vet of all time. Why don't you start by introducing yourself and telling all these mother effers who you are?
Well, I'm Anissa. This is my 14th challenge, probably my 20th Ooh. Show on MTV. I started this journey back in 2001 on Real World Chicago.
Amazing.
Yeah, right. Knock the dust off me to come back to this season for the challenge. So I've been doing it. As long as they're calling, your girl's going.
Yes.
And that's it.
And there's no reason not to. Oh my gosh. Like, what a lifestyle to be on this show, to compete, to make friends. Everything that we do. It's crazy.
Yeah. 20 years later. I mean, yeah. And it brought me to you.
On Dirty 30, baby. That's right? Where it all began. Oh my gosh. I had done Are You the One. I did Are You the One Second Chances. Then I got recruited to go on the challenge pretty much right when people were like, they were just starting to recruit outside shows. Mm-hmm. Are You the One was like the first outside show that was brought in. Mm-hmm. And so I got lucky enough to be swamped into that mess. And I met you. And man, we had a first season.
No, I mean, we loved each other. We came up with that one song in the beginning.
Dirty Cock!
Battle. Yes. Well, besides that one, the other one, Circular Motion.
Oh,
we won't get into that this episode, but another episode, we'll get into songwriting by Tori and Anissa. And I thought we really vibed. I thought you were amazing and funny and beautiful. Aww. And, you know, you came in with your then boyfriend. So I'm all about interracial dating. I am a product of it. So I was like, that's my girl. We're going to be best friends. And then dun, dun, dun. I vote you in or select you to go into your first elimination. You win. You come out. I'm the devil. You hate me. I'm still trying to love on you. It's not really working at all.
God.
Yeah. Broke my heart. And now here we are.
Looking back, I just cringe at my reaction to all of that. Because when you're a rookie on your first season, you don't realize like, oh, it's just the game. You can't take this shit personal. Like, it is what it is. But you were the first person. You like took my challenge elimination virginity. You were the first person to ever vote me into something.
I mean, like, someone's got to do it.
You were my first. So I like didn't know how to process that. And I think that's why I came back and I was like, fuck Anissa. But like, it literally could not keep us apart. Even when we were on Champs for Stars together, like,
I apologize so much. I almost wrote a letter.
God, but
I don't know if I should bring flowers to the challenges and like get that. I was so... I wanted to be your friend.
Oh, I want to be your friend too. I'm so happy I've matured from that because I don't know what I was doing. It took me a little bit to grow up.
It's okay. You're still young. I forget how young you are sometimes. Well, younger than me.
Yeah.
it worked out well. And now you're right over the bridge from me.
I know.
And I can see you whenever I want without having to get on a plane or go through TSA. Yes. So now I have you in Jersey. I'm in Philly. We're fucking doing it.
Yes.
Right near each other. I mean.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about that.
Yeah. Yeah. For those of you guys who don't know, Jordan and I are going through a breakup and I am thankful to be moving back to my family on the East Coast and I get to have my friend Anissa over there in Philly. So there's so many beautiful things. And I'm also still really good friends with Jordan. So nobody worry about that too much. It's a very amicable breakup. But back to the challenge because that's what we're here to talk about.
Yes, that is.
Right now, before we get into this episode, Anissa, we are going to do a quick, fun segment called Safe House, where we share a 36 seconds, no filter, no questions asked reaction to this week's episode in honor of it being the 36th season. So, Anissa, I'm starting your timer now.
Wait, go! Don't start it yet. I'm not ready.
Go, 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 hurry up.
No,
go,
I'm not ready. Oh, God, we already started. Okay. So, what happened was we moved into the house in Iceland. Then we show up at the challenge. It's double agents. Then we have a hill. We have to go up there. Then we get the capsule. Then we have to decode it. Then I decoded it. I won. I got to pick my partner. The guy's winner was Fessy, but it didn't matter because I beat everybody by a whole minute. Picked him. Then everybody else picked partners. And then the house got to vote in who they wanted against who we wanted. We voted in Wes. They voted in CT. We thought it was a guy's day, but oh, it's a girl's day. It was Ashley versus Natalie. Ashley goes home. Natalie stays. She's pissed off. She's in the room with me. I'm nervous about that. Wes pissed off. I don't really care. And now I've made enemies.
Okay, okay, you're done, you're done. Damn, that was good. You got so much in 36 seconds.
Thank
I can't
you.
Even. Damn, I'm going to try to do it right now. I'm going to try to hit on everything that you didn't touch on, which is going to be
okay, but that's the way you should go.
Harder.
All right, Tori, are you ready? You got 36 seconds.
Okay, here we go.
On the clock, when are we starting? And we are starting now.
Okay, everybody, we arrived into Iceland. We all got nose brutalized. That's right. We got swabbed for COVID. None of us had COVID. Congratulations. We get to the challenge. We see Lolo Jones. We're like, fuck that shit. We get up the hill. I'm like, give me that canister. Grab that canister. I'm on the bottom of a dog pile. Anissa's trying to have sex with me. No, it was really honestly just all fun and games. I'm trying to give you the shit. You won the shit. You're like, I'm the winner. You picked Fessy. He's looking sad, but low-key, he's happy because he knows that you are a real one. Then we get there. Leo's like, I don't want to go into elimination CT. I can flip dudes bigger than you. We're all like, no way. He's like an ant picking up things that are twice his size. That's crazy. And then, yeah, Ashley goes home and we were all really happy about that at the end.
Okay. He's like an ant picking up stuff.
Twice his size, baby. He got that ant strength.
He like an ant.
Love. Oh my God, that gave me like heart palpitation. That's just, I'm sweaty.
I know. Whew, I'm hot. I mean, and I have to check.
I mean the ant compliment in a compliment because ants are my favorite bugs, man. Those things are crazy. So that's a shout out to Leo. I love ants.
You clean it up however you want.
Let's talk about the play of the day.
Oh, come on. Come on.
We all know what it was.
Shoot of the face.
No, the play of the day was you winning. And
oh, that
stealing,
too. But
and stealing Fessy.
Oh, that I also thought it was very athletic for CT to fucking slam that shoe in Wes's face.
Oh, my God. It was so good. Okay. Like, so that good. Was the play of the day. And okay. Then, alongside yours.
Yeah. I mean, the real play of the day. Yeah. All right. Enough of that. Clearly, we both have different perspectives on what happened, but let's just dive into the episode.
Oh,
incredible.
My God.
So it's good. Like an action movie.
I mean, everything.
I mean, whoever did this outdid themselves.
Totally.
Editors, you guys are amazing. Whoever's in charge of music, you're incredible. I was blown away. Like, I had my stomach hurt. Like, I was there for the first
totally.
Time.
Totally. It riled me back up. First of all, seeing TJ is like, it's kind of gives me PTSD and it kind of also really hypes me up. It's like this like middle thing. I'm like, shit, what is he going to make us do now? But at the same time, I'm like, damn, that's like a TJ. TJ fucking laughing. I get like so hyped when I see him and how smooth he looked coming out of that helicopter.
I know. He looked fine. I was like, okay, TJ. Because I've been on the show with him since his first season. So he went from like, you know, a Fox t-shirt, a hat and like board shorts and like flip flops in the sand to like a legitimate like wool blend coat, getting out of a helicopter, sunglasses, like he's a man now.
Yeah. But then, you know, like he looks good for a second and then he drops the bomb on what we're about to do. And then, like, we see this huge, like, going into the challenge, we see this mound of dirt in front of us. We're, like, looking mm-hmm. out on the Icelandic Ocean. It's freezing outside. I don't think mm-hmm. people understand, like, while we're trying to anticipate all of these nerves that are running through our head, TJ's like, oh, yeah, 15 of you guys are going at a time, girls' heat, then guys' heat, and you're going to be lining up, racing up this hill, trying to get this capsule, then trying to decode this briefcase and basically punching in a code. And no one even understands that we're trying to, like basically deal with all that while it's raining on us, freezing
and it's
cold.
Also, you know, them telling us the rules are like, by the way, there are rocks in this mound. Like, hey, don't like fall down the hill and like break something. I'm like, I'm not going up this fucking hill.
Yeah.
I've had bad experiences with just putting your all out there and then coming back with a limb that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So this was not going to be the challenge that I was going to go out in.
A lot of girls were saying that, and that was the smart move. Like, we had discussed it. I was going to go up there, and I was going to try to grab that capsule and bring it back down to you, right? And I also talked to Lolo about that. I'm like, Lolo, when we get up there, like, let's chill for a second. Let's look at it before we bring it down, because we're the ones who worked our butt to get up here. So when I run up that hill, like, right behind Lolo, I'm yelling at her, and you don't even get to see this in the episode, but I'm yelling at her. I'm like, Lolo, stop. Lolo, read the capsule. Lolo, stop. And she just starts running with it. And that's when, like, this red light goes off in my head. I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to snatch the baton from a fucking relayer in the Olympics, baby. I'm in the Olympics. I snatch that shit out of her hand. I'm cracking. Anissa, I'm cracking up on the bottom of that dog pile.
Wait, I literally told her, I'm like, throw it to me, Lolo. Like, it was a football. And then you have it between your legs. Jaws of life. Tori's legs of life wrapped around it. I'm like, Tori, you're my friend. Let me see the colors.
I know, dude.
I'm like, is it positive or negative? Because the positive part was almost inside of you. I didn't know which side to go from. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do the best I can.
Oh, my God.
And run back. I didn't even try and win. Like, that wasn't the point until I fell and you hear everybody go, ooh. And I'm like, oh, now your bitch has to win. Like,
oh, damn.
I can't just fall in the middle of the challenge. I mean, I tripped myself. It clearly wasn't one of those majestic rocks on the beach. It was literally my feet. I think I was so excited that I was like, I could memorize shit, which I knew I could.
Yeah.
But I'm like, fuck it. When I get back, I'm like, well, you can't actually lose now. Like, you have to do well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's edited to look like we were neck and neck, but I finished, I mean, minutes.
Yeah.
Before people, you know, were done.
Oh, yeah.
And Ashley's still going. I closed my briefcase. Not today.
Not letting anyone peep that shit. Mm-mm. Girl, you killed it. I mean, and that is what sets you up for basically an amazing first episode. But let's get into the boys round, because this shit is incredible.
Yeah.
First of all, Michi just fires up that hill. Like, where the hell did he come from?
Right.
Then the shoe. I mean,
listen. That shoe, and I knew, I mean, the shoe, the opera music, no. It couldn't have been more beautiful. I mean,
majestic.
What a moment. What a fucking moment that is going to replay for maybe years. I mean, that is a response to many text messages where, like, somebody told me some shit that I don't understand. It's like a shoe in the face. Or when I say something dumb, shoe in the face.
Oh, God. It was so good, man. Honestly, like, and not because of any, like, beef I've ever had with Wes. That could have been pretty much anybody standing there.
Oh, my God. I would have. It could have been me. You would have laughed.
It just was so good. Like, I've never seen that. We all cracked up when we saw that.
I mean, you see our reactions. And that was, we laughed for so long.
So long.
I mean, so long. And Wes was furious.
Yes.
I mean, he was so angry, and I'm like, when you watch this, you're gonna understand that one, Josh didn't do it, so relax.
Right.
And two, it's funny.
Yes.
It's the challenge, but it's funny.
Yeah. And just to touch on that one thing you just said about Josh, like, it's not shown in the episode, but he was screaming at Josh right after that challenge because he really thought Josh did it. I'm like, yo, this is funny. Like, people are all on Twitter and stuff all the time being like, Josh, Wes doesn't hate you. But the moment Wes could have blamed somebody, he blamed Josh. So don't let it fool you. That rivalry is out there, and it is a two-way street, and Wes does it to Josh too. So it's not just Josh.
Yeah.
Oh, man, but it was so good.
I can't wait till that's a couple on Rivals.
Yeah. Oh, pair. God, that would be so good.
It would be so good.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That first challenge was crazy, but also that first elimination. Like, just try going through all of that politicking to try to get two big dogs against each other, trying to get CT and Wes against each other, and then what happened? It's a girls' day!
Fucking girls.
Like, you should have seen the look on everybody's face when we found out this huge scheme that we were trying to make happen, these two major competitors to go against each other, and then it all just fell apart because it was a girls' day. And I feel so bad for Ashley. Like, she got dragged along in that, and then she ended up going home because of something that we planned, that didn't go in our way.
Yeah, but I also felt like Ashley was aligning with all the rookies, one, and two, I don't know if I could trust her in that regard. I mean, I think she's so fun. But then you have Natalie, who was our roommate. She lived in a room with us. Yeah. And Natalie was nothing but, like, honest and fun.
Yeah.
Of course, one of the biggest threats in the house, oh, I definitely. Think, personally. I think that she is one person to watch out for this season, and I think that she has possibility of winning.
Oh, she's amazing. So, absolutely.
I mean, I watched that one episode on Survivor of her running to get logs in the heat while people are, like, emaciated and dying, and she can win.
She's on good. Go mode. That girl can go. Yeah.
Then TJ hits us with Natalie, now you can choose to stay with your partner. You can pick CT, which would have been an awesome team, too. Or you could pick anybody in here but me and Fessy.
Well, I can't wait to see what she does next week because that is going to be wild. I'm telling you, we already know what she does, but it's going to be wild when you guys watch it. My next question's for you, Anissa, just all about preparing and arriving to the seasons of the show. Mm-hmm. Like, what goes through your mind, or like, what do you even think about before you go on a season?
Before, I'm like training 7 times a week, boxing and outdoor boot camps, and, you know, doing as much as I could to kind of condition my body. But you really can't train for this.
Yeah, you can't.
When are you going to run up a hill
and
get a capsule in your workout?
No.
Probably not.
Yeah, no, you don't do that. You can just do yourself a favor and, like, try to do math problems on a calculator, which is what I've been doing because obviously I'm shit at math. So, like, I'll do stuff like that, or I'll, like, order tangrams on Amazon and I'll, like, try to play with those. But, like, realistically, the puzzles are always so different. The equations that they give you, you can try to practice and prepare for it, but, like, you don't know when you're going to get it. You could be running down after 6 miles of something, and then it's like, do a math problem, and you're like, fuck my life, you know?
You're like, 4 plus 7, what do you mean? But also the element of that is you can prepare for these things, but under pressure.
Yeah.
With $1 million under pressure. Line, can you do it?
Yes.
Because, Tori, we've done it together where we're like 29 plus. Yeah. Like, easy shit.
Yeah.
Easy shit for those, I mean, you know, for those who could do math. Easy stuff. It seems easy peasy, but it's not.
Yeah.
It is not.
No, that element of pressure is really hard. And also, it's the unknown. Like, before we go on a challenge, we really don't know anything. We don't know where we're going. We don't know who's going to be on cast. We really don't reach out to one another, because if you do, honestly, you kind of rub yourself off as somebody who's trying to over-politic too early. And honestly, you can really stress yourself out thinking about that stuff. It's better to just work on you, be the best version you can, and then when you arrive on location, you just kind of soak it all in. And this season arriving was way crazier than any other season for me because of COVID in the world.
Right.
It was just so much nose swabbing and quarantining. And, like, we were drained by the time we got there.
It was different, you know? Like, my first season, what did I do? I went to Jamaica. I lived on a resort. Mm-hmm. I had a cell phone. We lived in a villa, a girl's villa.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. We had a cell phone per 2 people. It was amazing. I mean, it was a flip phone, so it couldn't do anything but play Snake, but we had access to the internet, like, everything.
I want
to
go back.
And then
the
now
older
it's
seasons.
Like,
I want to go back in time, and I want to be on the Duel 2 with you.
Girl, we would have killed
it looked so much fun. Like, when I was in quarantine in the hotel, I just rewatched all of the seasons. Like, I just had to get myself hyped up for the show, and I watched them, and I was like, I want to go on this season and have fun like they did. But then when we get there and you see how cutthroat it is, it's, like, so hard to, like, differentiate between fun and, like, survival.
Right.
God.
I want to know this. What made you want to go on the challenge?
Somebody put a gun to my head. No, I'm just kidding. No, my roommate Joey, who's this amazing girl, she was a huge challenge fan. She literally said this to me. She was like, Tori, you need to apply for Are You the One? You need to go on Are You the One? You need to be funny, and you need to get recruited for the challenge. I swear to God, before I ever stepped foot on Are You the One, before I ever watched an episode, that's what she told me. And I was like, no way. I don't watch reality TV. Never. Never, never, never. I watched Devin's season of Are You the One. I had a huge crush on Devin. I swear to God, this is not a lie.
And I still do.
Huge crush on Devin. And I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. So then, yeah, went on either one. And that was history.
Shut up. I never knew that.
Yeah.
All because of Joey.
All because of Joey.
Good time partying as well.
Yeah, she's phenomenal.
Yeah. I definitely, I mean, it's definitely different back then because it was like you go on Real World or Road Rules and then you just go on the challenge. It's like almost part of your
job. Oh, really?
Yeah, because it was
I didn't realize that.
Because they only pulled from Real World and Road Rules.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to look at other places.
Totally, dude. Oh, my God. It's just crazy. Like I said, I watched the seasons. You've lived them. And, like, just seeing how much they've changed, it's just mind-blowing. That's why I'm so happy that we have Emer here because Emer's the showrunner now. She was a producer on Dirty 30. So we've – and I know you've seen her grow in the ranks.
Yeah, I feel like Emer was a breath when we were doing it. And she would be like – I would get out of the water and she's like, oh, you didn't fall? I'm like, no, I got past the first and second round. She's just one of those, like, tough love, in-your-face, strong-ass women that, to be honest, I wouldn't want to see her on the challenge. I wouldn't.
Nope.
I'm so happy she's a producer and that she's not a competitor. Because she doesn't give a shit.
No, she is savage. But honestly, she needs to be because we're, like, wrangling a bunch of big kindergartners who should probably be in jail. That's honestly what her job is, to wrangle us. But not only that, not anymore. Now she's the showrunner. She runs shit. So I'm so excited to dive into some questions with her for you and for us.
Okay, people, we are going to take a quick break. But when we get back, we are going to be talking to the infamous Emer Harkin.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, starting May 8th, wherever you get your podcasts.
So, folks, we are back, and I am so pleased to introduce and interview this person. She is a badass, which clearly we're only going to have badasses on this show. Mm-hmm. She is now our executive producer. Her name is Emer Harkin.
Yay!
So lovely to have you here, and I cannot wait to grill you.
I am dreading every second of this, although delighted to talk to you both, but dreading all of it. Do your worst.
Oh, God. Don't worry. We won't be that bad.
Sure.
Honestly, Emer, hearing your voice is so lovely, but low-key does give me PTSD. Not gonna lie. I feel like I'm getting eliminated right now talking to you.
No, really, Emer, we were discussing this earlier that, like, you only see Emer when she introduces that, like, says, hello, I'm Emer. You never see her again unless something goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, or you're going home. You know,
you're
like with the Wizard of Oz, like,
yeah, omnipresent.
The man behind the...
Well, I just
just looming over our heads, like, don't do this. Emer's gonna see.
Well, don't. I always know what's going on, but I just rather stay in the background because you guys don't need to see and hear from me all the time. I just prefer to get everything done, and then, like you say, it's only really if there's a problem that you should hear from me or see me, which is probably great for you guys.
Yeah,
the more infrequent, the better.
And it wasn't always like that, though, because like on Dirty 30, you were a producer on the show. So we would see you frequently. It's just crazy to see how much you've transitioned and grown in this field.
No, but before that, free agents before. I mean, when was your first season?
My first season was Duel 2 in Queenstown, New Zealand.
Oh,
then traveled with the show around the world. I think it's like upwards of 20 countries now. I was an AP in the challenge department. Then I was a challenge producer, as you guys would have gotten to know me in that way. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Always screaming the rules and telling you what rules to what to abide by and what not to do. And then I became a supervising producer. I had a little jaunt into story producing in Dirty 30, as Tori said. Mm-hmm. And then I was co-EP. And now, yeah, I'm the EP showrunner this season. So it's, yeah, quite
amazing.
Quite the decade. Yeah, it's been mental, but it's amazing.
I can't believe you came on Duel 2. Like, I've never gotten a pat on the back. That was a great season for me.
I was on top of the mountain. Of course, you were amazing. I was on top of the mountain in Queenstown Hill with you when you were finishing. It was amazing.
Oh, I didn't think to like, be done that shit.
I did not think. Seriously, that was 2008, Anissa, and it's now nearly 2021. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Crazy. Gosh. Here we all are.
Listen, but the beauty of it is. I wouldn't have done it differently.
No. And look, the beauty of it is, I think the reason that the show is so like, it's so intoxicating for all of us is that the things that we get to see and do are just beyond comprehension. You know, we get access to places in the world that we would never see otherwise. You know, I'm not sure if you guys are aware of that, but like the challenge locations are all, you know, largely off the beaten path. You would never stumble upon them as a traveler, like when you, if you were just there randomly. So, you know, we've seen the best of the best around the world, and it's pretty awesome. And we've done it together. Isn't that crazy? I travel with you guys more than I do with my family.
Oh, so God. How do you actually find the locations then if they're so remote?
Well, I guess it all starts, the initial conversation will start with, you know, what do we want the season to be about? So years ago, you know, traditionally we thought like we liked exes or it was rivals or so on and so forth. But like, as you guys have seen over the last couple of years, we keep wanting to kick things up a notch. And, you know, I tell you guys all the time, like, we're only there because of you. We treat you guys as like our superstars. We want you to feel like it. We want you to feel like action heroes often. And we, you know, have you doing things that make you action heroes. So we've kind of started emulating these movie worlds. So, you know, War of the World 1 was like Mad Max. Mm-hmm. And then War of the Worlds 2 was kind of Lara Croft, Tomb Raider. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of got into this like crazy post-apocalyptic, you know, total madness last season. And so now this season we're doing Double Agents, and it's that kind of like spy, espionage, thriller type vibe. So mm-hmm. That's where we start. So we try and figure out like what theme there's an appetite for, what that's the show so cool. needs. I know. So that's a lot of fun, you know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So like that's where I start. I'm a movie lover. So I'll think about, you know, what have I been inspired by? What has taken me somewhere else, and what would be a fun thing to recreate for you guys? And then that will naturally whittle down the list of countries that we can go to and that we can shoot in. And then the process becomes, you know, getting partnerships with countries, making sure we can go there. I scout, I make sure that it's a viable option for everything that our production involves. So that's a massive undertaking to start with something so huge and whittle it down to exactly what we need. But it's pretty incredible to do. It's a lot of fun.
How long does that take you guys to do? I feel like even busting out two of these a year, which is like typically what is done if there's not Corona in the world. But like, do you immediately start planning for the next one once the other one's wrapped filming?
I'm not telling you.
You're allowed to.
But yes, it's quick. It's quick. It takes a long time, you guys. It's like months of work, you know. And then, as you say, Tori, you throw COVID in the mix and it's like, it was bonkers. So last year, you know, Double Agents took a lot longer than it would traditionally take. I was working on the show for like over 10 months in total.
Oh my God.
The prep was a lot longer because, you know, there were very few countries that we could take you guys to. So it was pretty crazy.
And it was two cold seasons back to back, man. It was in a bunker, then we were in Iceland.
Tori, when you're a little thicker, listen, cold doesn't affect you the same. So I was like, woo, I don't have to wear a bikini. Thank you, Lord. I was like, give me a wetsuit. I don't care what I look like in this shit.
Yeah, man.
Ooh, I look like a condom and a seal for the season.
No,
you care.
Stop it.
Oh, I don't care.
You always stop.
Oh, my gosh. But, like, did you guys, because, like, this season we did some crazy challenges. And I'm like, there's some people got really hurt. I'm obviously not going to go into that stuff, but like there were people who got really cold during some of them. Do you guys test every single challenge that we do, or yeah. do you just throw us to the wolves?
No, God, no. We've got this team of testers that we will hire wherever we go. So we'll find people that are like a really representative cross-section of you guys. So we'll have like small girls, big girls, tall guys, short guys, like across, like different people of different weights, different capabilities, so that we're testing the game in multiple ways. So we do the same with the eliminations. So for the challenges and the elims, we will play them out in multiple ways. So if it was like Anissa versus Tori, this is how it would go. If it was, you know, X versus Y. So wow. There's a real rigorous process that goes into it. We wow. have got you guys covered. We've got you now, guys are you, well looked after.
Are you testing them like right before we do them? Or is that in like the months leading up to? Because no. It looks like such an extensive like setup, like so yeah. long and tedious. Like I would like with the first one, obviously not as crazy, you know, mm-hmm. set up a mound of dirt with some rocks in it anywhere. But for the like heights ones that we do, or, you know, with like all the scaffolding, or you have this stuff that they're so intricate, like, are they, you know, I know that they're planned ahead of time. Are they tested ahead of time too? Or is that like closer to shooting?
Well, we prototype everything pretty early on mm-hmm. to make sure that it's actually, you know, that it's a real, that it's executable, really, you mm-hmm. know. So we'll prototype things, we'll refine the game, and then we'll do rehearsals in the days previous. We also will try and do rehearsals in different conditions. So let's say it's a day before a challenge and it's particularly windy, we'll rehearse the challenge in wind, and we'll also rehearse it in rain or if it's calm, so that we can see how it plays right. Because, you know, if you guys are at height, if you guys are on rope that gets wet, anything like that, the game will then play differently. Mm-hmm. So we try to test it all out. But in terms of the accurate rehearsal, that's done in the couple of days prior to shooting.
And what people don't know is that you guys used to test the stuff out.
Yes, we did.
Which made me feel so much better. I'm like, at least they know what I'm going through, because it's cold or it's high or it sucks.
Totally.
You know, like,
do you remember, Anissa, do you remember that game in New Zealand where it was like this ladder and the rungs got farther and farther apart as we climbed? Yeah. It was swung uh-huh. over a cliff.
Of course. I had bruises all over my thighs.
It was this giant, giant ladder, Tori. It was like mm-hmm. 50 feet tall. And there might be like 10 feet between each of the rungs. And I that was the first
challenge. It was 100, I think.
And we were like 400 feet off the edge of a cliff. And that's mm-hmm. the first challenge I ever tested. And I was terrified. I was never.
It was insane.
Yeah. And it was amazing, but I was never good for the water and the falls. I was useless. Everybody, you know, and that gets me. It's funny. I can put me off the edge of a cliff or on a skyscraper and I'd be okay, but it was a waterfall. That was my, yeah, you know, we all have
really.
A yeah, I didn't.
Shocker. You're a human.
You've heard it here.
Oh my God. This whole time I was like, oh, I remember when we were in Turkey and you were under the water with us and I could see you because you were like in your scuba gear and Emer's in like a bikini. And like, all I see are these little pale legs. I'm like, okay, she's doing something. Well, I didn't know that you were scared of anything.
Look, it's awesome. But like I say, you know, if my back's against a wall, and I'll do whatever, you know, I've done a lot of crazy stuff for this show. But like I say, the falls don't really get me very excited.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely not.
Wow. They get me excited. I know,
nor Anissa.
I'm fine. I'm getting better at falling now.
You sure are.
I started to not give as much of a shit now that I'm older. Something happened where I just stopped caring.
That's funny. I think I went the opposite way. I think I, you know, I never cared. And now when I'm like,
It's kind of like I have to do it. I'm looking at it now. Like, I have to do it. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But like, if we have to do something scary, I'm not going to be like, no, I'm not going to do it. Because I've quit before once for more so for gameplay. But it's just like, you just got to get in there and go.
That's right. But you've just nailed it. And that's why we stopped testing largely, and why we started bringing in testers, because like, sure, I can test a game, but for you guys, like, we want to see people who are really, you know, they're being paid to perform just like you guys are. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, it makes sense to have, you know, real body doubles for you guys.
I give you guys a lot of credit because even though you have to set all of these challenges up early, I mean, you really keep everything such a secret. We are completely left in the dark. We don't know anything that's going to happen. I mean, how do you guys keep that on lock so well? Are there just a lot of people on the cast or on the crew who don't know what's going to happen the next day?
I tell no one anything unless absolutely necessary.
What about TJ? How much does TJ know before?
He'll largely know what's going on. TJ and I like to talk about things. TJ and I are super close. We're good buds. And he likes to know what's coming up. He likes to get in the zone and everything. So we talk, and then TJ knows what challenges are coming up. We talk about it. We talk about like how it's going to go, how we think it's going to play. So yeah, he's involved.
Do you make bets on who you think is going to win?
Lips sealed.
It's okay.
Oh my God, I know they do.
I mean, Big T made bets, and she was a part of the cast.
Yeah.
People didn't care. I definitely gave away some money this season.
No.
Definitely lost a couple of bets. It's fine. It's totally fine. So with that being said, I know that like back when you first started, it was basically pulled from Real World and Road Rules. And now we're getting all of these other people. Mm-hmm. I feel like this season in particular was super special. I mean, it was the most diverse cast I've ever been on.
Yeah, it was
great. Which I think was amazing just for the storytelling alone. Like, everybody shared, like,
I know, it was great.
Their issues. I mean, we talked about mental health, which isn't talked about a lot in our community. It's just, you know, just like, you know, a lot of pressure to be a certain way. Like, it was just amazing, and I hadn't seen that before, so thank you.
Well, no, thank you. Thank you guys,
all that, like, flavor and spice this season.
No, look, it's all about you guys. I think I'm really proud of that. I'm so happy that you've said that, because I think, you know, ultimately it's what we're all interested in is everybody's story, like what we're all about, what makes us tick. And when everybody was being so raw and so honest and so open, and to have all of those real conversations, be it from like race to any kind of you know, mental health issue, like you say, it was just, we're all human, we all struggle. And I think that you guys sharing those struggles so openly and so honestly will be really important to our viewers, and I think that it's awesome. So I commend everybody on their honesty and their, you know, bringing their A game. I think it's really, really special.
Yeah, I feel like we're slowly getting not that Real World vibe, but that like dig a little deeper into the human. Like,
right,
you guys have the, because these episodes used to be 22 minutes and you guys jam pack them full of stuff. And now we have an hour and a half, and I'm like, you know, you can still sneak in these very real, vulnerable, open, honest, scary moments for people. And make us even more relatable.
Totally.
You know, like, oh, these are humans. These are people that are still struggling. Like, now, like, the challenge just used to be the challenge. Like, I feel now we've added another layer of, oh, these people have stories.
Yeah.
And these are relatable stories. I just got chills.
Absolutely.
So I'm really, really happy about that.
Oh, well, I'm glad you're happy.
Yeah.
It's about you guys having a platform and to use it, you know, to use it wisely. And I think that it's an awesome platform. And I think it's really special this season.
Yeah. And that conversation between you and Issa and Cam, that first episode, like setting the tone emotionally for this season.
I was a mess.
I think that first episode had every bit that it needed to have in it. It had the emotional aspect with that conversation. It was so beautiful and opening. And then we had the competition, which was incredible. And then we had that killer elimination. Like, that first episode was just so amazing to watch.
It was amazing. I've never been in shock and awe from a premiere for a challenge in a long time. I mean, Tori and I are watching it like, oh my God, what's going on? Are we in a James Bond movie? What the fuck?
I know it you
was,
guys.
I mean, the music was incredible. I mean, just the pictures of us on the screen with TJ. I'm like, you guys put in fucking work.
Yeah, we did.
I mean, so much. And you can tell, like, you guys cared so much.
Well, thank
I mean,
you.
Don't care, but like, it is like this
it just looks like everybody just tried their asses off.
Yeah,
like,
we did.
Cast and crew alike.
It's really funny that you mentioned that cold open, because like that initial minute and a half, you know, it's like the ode to TJ Lavin, and he comes in and he like puts in the thumb mm-hmm. drive and all the data is, you know, on the screen and everything.
I mean, so good.
I had like, I picture in my head how it's going to open, and then, you know, you pitch what you write and so on, and we talk it through together with the network. And it was literally sentence by sentence what I had written on a page months ago. So to actually watch it, I was just like,
oh, wow.
It was really emotional, God, actually. And I'm so glad you guys liked it. But it's, it was super cool.
I felt sick. I felt like I had won. I felt like I was about to go compete again.
I felt like I was like, I'm in a movie, Mom. Right. I'm in a fucking movie. My life is I'm a fucking action figure.
It felt like that, and it felt like we hadn't even done it yet. Like, I was excited all over again. I'm like, Tori, you want to go run somewhere? Like, I didn't know I didn't know what to do with myself. I thought it was absolutely incredible. Oh, I mean, I can't wait to see the rest of the season. It is.
Yeah.
Well, you guys nailed it. You guys nailed it.
Yeah.
Oh, I did for that.
Emer, we can't thank you enough. It's honestly a pleasure to do these shows with you and have all these moments to laugh about. And honestly, thank you for everything you do and for coming on this podcast and opening up with us.
Thank you, you guys. I love you both. You're amazing.
Thank you for laughing at me.
I'm laughing with you always.
I know you always say that.
12 years
to be honest, it would not be our relationship if you didn't laugh sometimes. I would feel weird about it.
Know that it's
love. I wouldn't change anything. I am so grateful for the opportunity. I am so grateful that because of you, I challenge myself. Just showing up is a challenge, you know. So thank you for, you know, that I can eat. So thank you for the job. Thank you for the experience. Tori is one of my closest friends, so thank you for that. Like, it just, thank you for taking me to all of these beautiful places and just allowing me to push myself to do shit I never ever would even pay to do.
Well, so, I am proud of you.
I am super grateful for you.
I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you both every day. And I'm so grateful for being part of this beast. It is amazing. You guys are wonderful. To many more to come.
Yes. Thank you so much, Emer.
See you later. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings early and ad-free starting May 1st with a 48 Hours Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts.
Our next segment is called Challenge Confidential. We are going to share a secret from the episode. And I want to talk about something in editing that looks way different than happened in real life. And that's the order of the challenge. That's the order that we played the game. Mm-hmm.
Like, the guys went first.
Yeah.
And then they show us going first. I'm like, my win was supposed to be second and climactic. And I'm like, fuck, why are we watching the guys second?
Yeah. You know, I think it was because the guys went first. I think they went so hard, the girls got freaked out. And that's why you have in our group where Nicole was kind of throwing words to Lolo and Cam is like trying to figure out, well, she's not like attacking anybody for it, but she's listening to people. Like, people are playing softer and smarter instead of harder, like the way the guys played. So I think that's the reason why the girls played softer in the second round. But the guys got, they played so much harder that it was almost more fun to watch. And that's why I think they aired them second.
Or they could have shown like, oh, well, the girls definitely went slower. So like if Anissa won, she probably didn't beat Fessy by that much. I mean, I thought about all of this.
Yeah.
As I was watching it. But here's another, can I share another secret?
Oh, yeah.
The guys usually always go first in the first elimination.
Yeah.
So that was a big like, ladies first moment. And for me, I'm like, chivalry could have died just for today. If they could have just let the guys go first. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's fuck the patriarchy any other day, but let the males go first and lead us into victory. I would have let them go down.
We would have had an amazing matchup. It would have been CT versus Wes. Like, that would have been like
hanging upside down by ankles and feet, in the ankles and wrists, in the most vulnerable position, and we would have gotten it.
But we didn't.
But no, we didn't.
We did not.
All right, Tori, let's talk about what's in our mailbag.
Okay.
Which the mailbag includes a bunch of questions from people out there who want to know more about us, mm-hmm. and what goes on in the Challenge House.
All right, so let's do it. One of the questions that we got from one of the fans is, how did this season change with coronavirus?
Bruh. Well, so many COVID deaths. I feel like a Q-tip. There was a lot of nasal brutality.
Oh my God.
Before we even got to location, we had to pass the first two tests. Then we had to get tested right when we got into Iceland. And Tori can tell you how wonderful her test went.
It was terrible. I literally, walking into Iceland, this woman like took this thing, this Q-tip, and shoved it so deep in my nose. I had never felt a Q-tip in my brain before. I grab her by the wrist and I'm like, I move my hand. She's like, don't touch me. I'm like shaking my head in agony, literally with this huge stick out of my nose. Like, I open my eyes and I see it. After that first one in Iceland, I was like, these people don't give a fuck over here.
Yeah, but that's why they have no cases.
Oh, yeah.
Because they give a fuck and your nearest neighbor's a sheep.
Yeah.
Like 16 wild horses.
God, it was so painful.
It definitely changed. But you know what was really cool? We got so many hugs, which was nice because I hadn't had a hug in so long. Yeah. Definitely was a change.
Yeah.
And we couldn't go out this season, you know? So they built us a club in the backyard. Mm-hmm. And that club got so many different names.
Oh my God, we called it the Kligloo because it looked like a club igloo, but production hated when they called us that, so they made us call it the Ice Dome in all of our interviews, and we were like, it's the Kligloo.
Yeah. And I thought it was the Clitgloo, and that's why they're calling it the Kligloo. I thought maybe Nelson made up that name because he calls it a click and not a clit. Oh, that's another secret from today, but Nelson calls a clit a click, and I thought that's why we were calling it the Kligloo. And Tori let me go on saying it because she knew that that's what I thought it was and did not correct me.
I can't stop laughing right now. I'm crying.
Oh, you did that to me.
Oh, fuck. Okay. Let's get off this question before I keep laughing. All right.
Well, then I'll ask the next question so okay. You can get it together.
Thank you.
So someone wanted to know, how far in advance do you find out what the challenge is?
Bish, when you arrive on set, you don't know anything.
You still don't know. You don't know until TJ says it.
Totally. Because you can arrive at the challenge and you could be like, I think it's this. I think we're going to do this. And you could be completely wrong.
You'll never know. I don't think I've ever known what it was from 20 years ago to today.
Nope. Yeah, that makes sense because they want to get genuine reactions. And that also gives us no time to plan on how we're going to do it. We just have to get there and everyone has the same amount of time to strategize.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, this was an amazing first episode. You crushed it, Anissa. You are the MVP girl. I'm so happy that you got your first Challenge Daily win. And
thank you.
I'm sure there are more to come this season. So let's hope for that.
We shall see.
Mm-hmm. All right, girl, where can we follow you, Anissa, so we can DM you and tell you that you cute?
And Anissa MTV everywhere. That's AnneeSaMTV.
Yeah.
That's Twitter. That is Instagram. Please, I'm not going to give out Snapchat because I don't want any crazy shit in there, and I know y'all are sending. So, no, thank you, but thank you.
Yeah.
And what's yours, Tori?
You guys can follow me at Tori_deal. And I'm not on Twitter anymore because the trolls are too fucking crazy. I'm over it. On Snapchat, I have 11 followers. Anissa's one of them. I want to keep it that way. So just follow me on Instagram. DM me. Let me know what's going on in your life. Don't send me no dick pics. Nothing crazy like that.
Unless it's huge. No. But really, if you have any questions, make sure you send them in because you never know. We may be discussing them. They may be in our next mailbag.
Yes, yes, yes. So that's it for this week's episode. But we'll be back next week, guys. Make sure to watch the new episodes of The Challenge every Wednesday and go behind the scenes with us the next morning on MTV's official Challenge podcast.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings early and ad-free starting May 1st with a 48 Hours Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts.